When it comes to women's health, our health system is built on sick care, not preventative care. And so much of women's health is preventative medicine and community medicine. And how can we get back to that and help women throughout the United States get access to OBGYN care?
Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag Skinthusiast, the podcast. Years ago, before I was even in a place to start thinking about starting a family, someone mentioned to me that you should be on a prenatal vitamin before you get pregnant. And I'm so glad they did. And somehow during that time, I was connected to Binto and have been taking their prenatal packs ever since. So this is at least a year, maybe more, before I got pregnant with Josie, who is now over 2 years old. So this is one of those supplements, routines that I've had for year after year. I went back to them after I had Josie, after I had some blood work that changed. They helped me redo my personalized pack. They have consults on their websites. So immediately I knew I wanted to have the founder, Susie and Andy, on the podcast because there's just so much to know about women's health, about the preconception period, and about infertility. So this conversation is really well-rounded. We cover some tips for infertility, but we also cover tips if you're just a woman living your life and you want to know how to best support your body for a potential future pregnancy, whether that's in 6 months or years down the road. Andy and Susie both are such a wealth of knowledge in this women's health space, and there's a lot of tangible tips here that you can incorporate into your own routine. So sit back and I hope you enjoy this episode with the founders of Binto. I wanted to take a minute to thank you all for taking the time to rate and review the podcast. It's been so incredible to see your reviews come through. I wanted to highlight one from C's in the City. It says, I am so happy to have found Amy's podcast. Her calm demeanor, never-ending information, and guests make her show one that I really look forward to. I know that it takes just a few minutes to write a review, but we're all so busy, so I really, truly appreciate you taking the time. And as a little thank you, if this was you, C's in the City, C-E-S in the City, please slip into my DMs. I want to send you a box of goodies as a thank you. And thank you to everyone who's taken the time to review. Thank you to everyone who takes the time to listen to the show every week. I am just so happy that you're here. Susie and Andy, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. My audience knows how much I love Binto. I've been using your prenatal packs for years, and we're going to get into that. But can you just introduce yourselves to the audience, let us know who you are, and also what is Binto?
Sure. So I'm Susie. I'm a nurse. My whole career in nursing has been in women's health and the reproductive life cycle. So before launching Binto in 2016, I worked as a postpartum nurse in NICU, and then I did fertility and IVF nursing. And this is really what led me to what is now Binto, and realizing that when it comes to women's health, our health system is built on sick care, not preventative care. And so much of women's health is preventative medicine and community medicine. And how can we get back to that and help women throughout the United States get access to OBGYN care? And that's what led to Binto. And Andy is my co-founder and partner, which is very exciting. So Andy, take it away.
Yeah, I'm Andy. I am a PA, like Amy, by training. After graduation, I worked at Planned Parenthood for a while, doing a lot of GYN-focused care, a lot of birth control. So I oftentimes will refer to that as my wheelhouse, which led into some time at a fertility office. And Susie and I have been friends for a very long time. We actually met back in middle school, so we were probably like 11 or 12 when we first met. And I was looking for a little change, and here I found myself at Binto. So it's been a really wonderful way to use both my clinical skills and knowledge, and then also educate, which I really love and was one of my favorite parts about all of my clinical roles.
Yeah, absolutely. But the way that you guys came together was a little serendipitous. Can you tell us a little bit about that as far as you becoming a co-founder at Binto?
Susie and I, like I said, we were friends since middle school. And so when she originally launched Binto, this was probably almost 8 years ago, I was one of the first people to sign up because it was right around when I was getting married. And as a provider, I was like, oh, of course, I need a prenatal. The next thing on my agenda is to try to get pregnant. So I know I need to be on my folate. So let me support my friend and also check my boxes that I know I need to do. So I signed up and have basically been getting monthly kits ever since that day. And so I was a customer for a long time. I've had 3 bento babies with the team. And when I had a few years of experience working clinically, I was looking for a change, especially with family life, little kids. So I reached out to Susie and I was like, hey, I love bento. I think you like me. Is there any room on the team for me? So I came on in a much more limited capacity. I was really like more customer service focused to start. And just over the years, my responsibilities at the company have ramped up. I ended up being an angel investor early on because I loved it so much. And we're now co-founders together. So it's been a really exciting journey for me.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, it feels really good. And it's amazing that Andy has had this trajectory with us and is able to angel invest and be a partner. The fact that we could have this path together before becoming real business partners is amazing. And we know how each other works. And Andy is so smart. She's very operations minded. And then I'm more like the higher visionary type. So it's the perfect match for our two skill sets. And we're both now moms, just like you. And I feel like that's so powerful when you are busy women tend to get stuff done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to talk about both of your journeys entering motherhood. And we know that Infertility Awareness Week is coming up. And I definitely want to chat about infertility specifically on this episode because you guys are both such experts. But I also want to start the episode with why it's important to think about these things, even if someone doesn't struggle with infertility or doesn't know if they struggle with infertility, if we're really thinking far ahead, why is it important to think about supplementation and this kind of education as it pertains to women's health in general?
I think first and foremost, we know that 1 in 6 couples are going to struggle with infertility. So if it's not something that's going to impact you, it's going to impact somebody in your small circle. So at some point or another, you'll come across it. It might be while it's happening for other people, or it might be after the fact, but it's so important to have an understanding and knowledge of what it all entails, because it's a lot and it's bound to impact people that you love and care about.
Yeah, I think, like you said, National Infertility Awareness Week is coming up. This is a huge passion of mine. Obviously, bento started out with really focusing solely on fertility and what can we do in the fertility market to help people get access to safe products and support your fertility. Like you said, even if you're just like in your teens, 20s, you have no idea if you're ever going to use these eggs, you might one day. And that's really the point here, is to raise awareness around this. It's not a female only issue. This impacts, a third of all infertility cases. At least a third of all infertility cases are male factor infertility. And I think if we can start talking about that more and raise awareness, it'll help remove the stigma and help people who are going through it feel less alone or less isolated. And I'm so glad that you are covering this topic, because I'm sure there are people listening who are struggling and maybe alone, and we want you to know that you're not alone. And there are people out there who are going to fight for you.
And it's such an emotional time. It's, as you can imagine, or maybe you can't, but to me, that it makes sense. In the skincare space, I see actually a lot of this in people in my DMs, because I think people who are starting to plan for families, even people going through infertility, their skincare is something that they feel they have some control over. And we know that there are changes we have to make to our skincare routine in the preconception period, if we think about it, but at least after conception occurs. And I think people fixate on that as something, at least, you know, that there's something I can change and I can prepare my routine for this conception period. So I do get a lot of this. I also see it a lot with my patients. Just on last Wednesday, one of my virtual appointments was a patient that I've seen for many years, and she had just suffered a miscarriage and her acne was flaring incredibly badly after that fluctuation in hormones. So of course she was incredibly emotional about it. And so I see a lot of this, and it's something I see firsthand with my friends. I see it with my audience, and it's just something I'd love to bring light to help as many people as we can, which is of course why I wanted to have you on. But I want to chat a little bit about the preconception period and what is the timeline that women should start thinking of this period. Because we all know now, I think most of us know now, that it's ideal to be on a quote unquote prenatal before you get pregnant, not just after. But what's that timeline look like? How many months before are we talking?
Can I say one thing? I love that you said preconception because we've been having this debate in the office recently as a team. Is it fertility? Like, I think of supporting your, pre-pregnancy self as your fertility preservation, whereas some people are really into this notion of preconception or conception. So thank you for that. Very fascinating. Would love to know what any listeners have to say.
That's a really good point. I think when I hear fertility, I think of fertility versus infertility, which that's not necessarily the case, right?
Same.
Exactly what you said, fertility could just be supporting your health in anticipation of a pregnancy, but in my mind, I guess because of the word infertility, I don't know. I don't know. I've always just said preconception.
Yes, this is a debate. This exact thing is
That's so
why we
funny.
have this debate in the office, just for marketing and how are we communicating with our community or potential Bento members, customers. So this is a really interesting topic. But anyways, Andy, I'll let you can dive into when people should start thinking about their fertile health.
Yeah, my number one line is it's never too late to start thinking about it. Ideally, if you have lots of time to plan, we like to see some planning take place at least 3 months before you are pregnant. That's really what our medical data supports, is being on folate 3 months prior to pregnancy. For people who are maybe struggling with their fertility or wanting to leverage the use of some fertility supplements, we do see some good evidence too that those can build up over time, also over kind of a 3 month period. So I would really say the minimum is 3 months, but it's also, like I said, it's never too early. So if you're thinking within the next year, I would say go for it and just go ahead and get your routine started because, as we all know, starting new routines, the beginning can be a little bit touch and go. So you might as well give yourself a little extra time to get it on lock point so that you're all in the best of shape for when the time comes.
And aside from supplements, which we're going to get into, are there any diet lifestyle factors that we can incorporate in that 3 to 6 month period or even a year before that can really optimize our bodies for pregnancy?
Absolutely. I think just since the time of when I was working as a fertility nurse, which was over 10 years ago now, we started getting more research on environmental factors and how this relates to our health, but specifically our fertility. And this is for both males and females. Just with anything, be cognizant of the products you're using, what they're packaged in. We really want to limit our exposure specifically to BPA materials. So if you have plastics in your home, that's totally fine. Just make sure that they are BPA or BPS free, because we do know they contain chemicals that are endocrine disruptors, which can throw off our sex hormones, which is what helps us get pregnant. Just combing through your house, it doesn't mean you have to throw everything away. Just if you're going to replace stuff, just start to slowly maybe replace things or think about the products, what you're going to purchase if you're out in a store or on Amazon looking for something. And then vitamin D is really important when it comes to fertility. So I know we have to be careful with sun exposure, but making sure you're getting plenty of that vitamin, not just your prenatal. And then diet. So this is where we want to focus on more of a Mediterranean style diet. That's the one that's been really well studied. There was a huge, I think they call it like the nurses study out of Harvard. And that's where we noticed that consumption of omega fats is very important. So that's where you'll see on products like DHA, EPA. You dare, there's some evidence that the females that had more like full fat dairy had higher, what we call fecundancy rates, meaning higher rates of pregnancy and then a live birth. And
More full
then
fat
making sure you're
dairy?
getting,
You said
yes,
more full fat dairy. Okay.
more full fat dairy, which I know some people like don't really do well with dairy. So just making sure then you're getting fats from elsewhere in your diet, right? And plenty of proteins. And Andy's big on hydration. So,
I'm a
yeah.
big hydration girl, so and we usually think about water, which is of course important, but like the full factor hydration, so you want to make sure you're replenishing those electrolytes and keeping your full balance. I still remember from PA school when you're really down and out, Gatorade is very good. You can water it down, or Pedialyte, both great. And also ginger ale is actually a really great electrolyte rebalancer, so I usually always keep that at home for if I'm feeling a little bit parched. And then my other thing that I just think is so underrated and we're still doing a lot of emerging research on is sleep. I don't think you can overstate enough how important sleep is, especially in the culture we live in now where it's always more and more. How much can we churn out? How many more things can we do in a day? Sleep is just so important. So if you're thinking about pregnancy, it is the number one time to start prioritizing and getting on a good sleep schedule.
Absolutely. And if you're listening to this and going through infertility, like you're past the preconception or fertility phase and you're like, I'm in the thick of it. I feel like that's when sleep can get really hard too. Just like you're extra anxious, you're extra stressed. And things like try things like acupuncture to help balance your natural sleep cycles. Anything you can do to lower those cortisols to help with sleep because it's so important and we just don't know the full impact yet.
And I didn't prep you guys for this question, but I'm just curious, what does the data say about the mind-body connection or stress as it pertains to our fertility?
Yeah, so a hard one to parse out, right? So any of these things that are difficult to measure, it's going to be a lot harder to see what the specific connection is. But at least when it comes to stress, there's a little bit of something we can measure. Cortisol, we know that cortisol is going to impact all of your hormones. More stress, elevated cortisol levels, going to impact the way the rest of your sex hormones are going to interact with each other and can impact your ability to conceive. Not tons of concrete data on the specifics of how it works. And it's frustrating because it's like, just don't stress, right? Like we hear that all the time and it's like the least helpful phrase because you get all consumed by it, right? You spend so many years trying not to get pregnant and then you're like, I want to get pregnant and then you can't. So you feel like you're doing all the things right and it starts to go really wrong. So I think it's natural to stress. So I usually try to help people focus on what can you do to manage your stress in healthy ways. So that's when we're really focusing again. How can we keep your sleep schedule as routine as we can so that you're at least being able to manage those cortisol levels? How can we keep your diet in check? How can you get some like good, healthy movement in that's going to feel good for your body during that stage? Sometimes for people, it's like low impact. Sometimes other people like more high impact. All of it is fine. It's what feels right for you. But those things are really important for helping us to manage our stress levels.
Yeah. I was so stressed. Because I was like, how can I have this? My whole life is dedicated to helping people build their families, their reproductive health. And I just felt like such a failure or fraud because I'm like, here I am going through infertility myself, right? The products you make are supposed to help you with that. And that took me a lot of framing and being that now looking back, it's now I really understand our customer base even more than ever before and what you're going through. And yeah, there's nothing you can do to remove all the stress. And it's okay if you have down days and you need to be negative. That's not going to impact whether you get pregnant or not. Like, that's okay. You can feel your feelings and just try to do something every day to fill up your cup and a lot of self-care, which is, I think, probably, Amy, why so many people reach out to you, like you said, because those are the things that we can control, our skin, exercise, makeup, like things that make us feel good during a time when we might be feeling really crummy or frustrated.
Yeah, so I have your kits pulled up here, Amy, and I can walk through what you're on now. Again, which is like a little bit maybe that limbo zone, like maybe we'll try, maybe we won't right quite yet, but I want to make sure that I'm doing what I can for my body right now, which is an important conversation, right? You just want to make sure that you're covering your bases. So you have the prenatal plus, which is our more robust prenatal multivitamin, which is great. That's where your folic acid is. That's where there's a base dose of vitamin D. You're getting iodine, some choline, magnesium, all of those great ingredients that we really want to see in a prenatal are in there. You have fish oil, which is really important, DHA. It's going to be anti-inflammatory, so great kind of all around. But when we're talking about preconception or pre-pregnancy and pregnancy, we're thinking about the impact it's going to have on neural development. So there's some good evidence to support its use for neural development early in pregnancy, as well as any kind of infertility or fertility conditions that may be impacting fertility. So it's going to help with that inflammatory type response. Then You have vitamin D. Susie already mentioned this a little bit, but vitamin D is so important for our fertility health. We want to make sure, and obviously Amy is wonderful at her sunscreen, so she's probably not getting all of her vitamin D from the sun, even though she lives in sunny Miami. So vitamin D we typically get from sun exposure, but we've been seeing a decrease in vitamin D levels because of our consciousness and our sunscreen behavior, which is great. We want to be protecting our skin, but vitamin D does play a crucial role for a lot of people. So vitamin D will help with that. It's important for implantation mostly. Then you're also getting CoQ10. So CoQ10 is our important heavy hitter for egg quality. This one is important because as we age, our egg quality is going to decrease. This is just a fact of life. It can be more or less impactful for different people at different times, but typically we start to see a steeper decline around 35. Having CoQ10 on board helps to ensure that the eggs that are released during ovulation are going to be of a good quality to support a pregnancy. If they're not good quality, it could just not be fertilized. It could end in an early miscarriage. That's the type of times that we might see issues like that. And then you're also getting B12. B12 is important for people who don't eat red meat. Also really important if you're just need a little energy boost. Some people find a really nice pick-me-up from a little bit of B12. It is also important, like clinically speaking, for red blood cells, so oxygenation, which is really why we're focused on B12 deficiency for vegans, because we need to make sure that you're having the right levels of B12 for your red blood cells so that they can deliver oxygen to all the parts of your body and hopefully a pregnancy down the road.
Yeah, Amy, I also remember last time we met, you mentioned having blood work done.
Yes.
So you would just have blood work done mm-hmm. and your TSH was slightly elevated.
Yeah.
So that's why we kept you on the prenatal plus, because yes. This, like that's the beauty of Binto, is that it's completely customizable. So the prenatal plus, you're getting that additional minerals that are going to support your thyroid health. And in that one, Andy called out like the iodine, the selenium and zinc. So all of those are going to help your TSH levels. And the reason why we care about our thyroid, first of all, postpartum, our thyroid can be very much impacted. And this is a time frame when a lot of women will notice an uptick in thyroid-related diseases. So you were postpartum, makes sense. And then we care about it because if you have elevated TSH levels, it can be a cause of early recurrent miscarriages. This is why getting blood work and getting a full picture of your body in that fertility and trying phase is so important.
This episode is brought to you by me. Skinthusiast.com is your one-stop shop for all things skin, hair, and beauty. I have countless blog posts to educate you on all the skin concerns and most common skin questions I receive. We also have a complete skincare basics guide on our shop page, as well as the cutest In My Skin Era crewnecks. If you want to support the show, please head over to skinthusiast.com/shop. And don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Yeah, and I think what's interesting about this as well is my TSH was at a level that would not have been flagged, right? It wasn't flagged by the lab. It wasn't an abnormal level, but both the company I did my blood work from, you guys who I had a consult with immediately after to say, okay, this is the information I have. How do I change my supplements? And my OBGYN, all companies and people who are concerned specifically with women's health and preconception were like, no, your TSH is too high. It's so interesting. If you had gone to maybe a PCP who wasn't, I don't want to say as well versed, but maybe you didn't even explain to them that you were doing this for a preconception reason. Maybe you were just going in to get labs to make sure you checked all those boxes and everything looked fine. But if you weren't going in with that understanding that the levels and the requirements are a little bit different, if you are wanting to get pregnant and have a successful pregnancy, it's something I wouldn't have even noticed, especially because my T3 and T4 were fine too. So it just was. And I don't really have many symptoms. So it's just interesting that now we're working to correct it so that I could hopefully have another successful, healthy pregnancy. But it's something I wouldn't have even noticed if I didn't have that women's health education.
Totally. It's crazy how, you know, as a society too, everything's, if you look at the back of a supplement bottle, you'll see, or anything, it's percent daily value. And we get those based off of a man's body. And if they're consuming 2000 calories a day. Don't, if you're looking for a prenatal vitamin and percent daily values that seem like way over, that's why, because we're talking about, this is in relation to women's health, but that percent daily value is geared based off of like the male body. So there are just all these things you would never know. Another, one more caveat just to help people with TSH levels. If you are taking a multivitamin or a prenatal or any type of hair supplement, hair growth supplement, anything that contains biotin, which is a type of B vitamin, there are some labs out there that use assays, thank you, that use machinery that are sensitive to biotin and could throw off a TSH level. So at Bincho, you'll get a welcome packet in there. We just say, just don't take your prenatal or your multi for a day or two leading up to the lab value, because it goes right through you. It's a water-soluble vitamin. You should be fine and you'll have a very accurate TSH reading. Yeah, but this is something that we don't often know about.
This is something that really irks me about the hair supplement industry, because even the couple hair supplements I recommend that actually have good data when it comes to hair growth, they have biotin in them. And it's not that biotin doesn't grow your hair. Biotin doesn't grow your hair unless you have a biotin deficiency, because we know that biotin deficiency can cause this hair thinning and hair loss.
Also a reason why people just will generally take prenatal supplements, because they find that it makes their hair nicer sometimes.
Yeah, that's interesting too, because so I always like to tell people who, and I'm a proponent of being on a prenatal if you're a woman of childbearing age, because you never know. You just never know. So it's always best to have your bases covered. But I have sometimes people like who want to go on it for hair. But interestingly enough, a lot of the reason our hair is so beautiful in pregnancy is because the hair is stuck in the resting phase. So it's not falling out. So we have this joke in dermatology, like my hair is good because I'm pregnant, not because I'm taking the pregnancy vitamin. But I think it is. If you have a deficiency in one of these vitamins that could be causing you to have some sort of a hair issue, absolutely. It's definitely going to happen.
I'm having... my hair is so sad postpartum again, but I love your, I get your newsletter. I need to get that K18, like all your postpartum hair hacks. You are the queen of it. And just the information you put out is so helpful, because just, I don't know, navigating that market can be really overwhelming.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's always important to enter into any postpartum hair conversation knowing that it will get better. It's self-limiting.
Yes.
But I think sometimes these companies prey on that, right? When it comes to hair regrowth, they have these amazing before and afters. And you're like, that before and after would have been there regardless if they took the supplement, because your hair is going to come back around. Now, this is coming from someone who, as soon as I'm done breastfeeding, I'm popping all the supplements for hair, I'm using my hair helmet, all that stuff. So I do believe in supporting it as much as you can, but it's an expensive market. So I never want anyone to feel like they have to do these things in order to get their hair back to where it was. And maybe your hair will never be back to what it was pre-pregnancy. I know mine isn't, even with everything I do, but it will get better. It's a hard time, especially if you've experienced you go through, let's say, infertility, or you have a tough pregnancy and then you get hit with the hair thinning too. It's just, dang, can't catch a break.
I know it is tough. And like you said, I think that's why you're such a great provider and practitioner, Amy, is because you're cognizant of prices, and there's so many different types of people out there, right? And you want to support everyone at a different price point. And I feel like it can be that way, not just in the beauty industry, but just the wellness industry itself. And we're in the wellness category, and it's crazy what you can see people doing. And you don't need to spend a fortune on things, but you can fit things within your budget.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to touch on folic acid quickly. I have two questions on it specifically. Why is it important that we use a methylated folate? And then my second question is, and we spoke before we started this podcast, but one of my coworkers just became pregnant with her first baby in her early 40s. And so I recommended that she see you guys right away. I was like, you have to just sign up for their, because you guys do consultations, sign up online, do a consultation. That way you can have something specific and targeted to your needs. But at a certain age, or for any reason, do we need to increase that folic acid dose? I remember reading somewhere that in some cases we need a higher dose of folic acid. So I would love if you could touch on that and then methylated folate.
Yeah. So the long and short of it is when we have studies in medicine that look at folic acid. Folic acid is the synthetic form of folate. And then you'll see on the market some methylated forms of the B vitamin that are methylated, M-methylfolate. They have all these crazy long names. A few years ago, there was some studies, some evidence that there are certain subpopulations that have a gene mutation that don't properly methylate folic acid. Because in order for us to properly use folic acid in our bodies, we usually attach a methyl group to it that basically activates it, allows our body to use it, and we'll take a methyl group off, and then it's deactivated, hangs around until we activate it, that kind of thing. So generally speaking, in most of the medical community, people find that they're pretty synonymous. The studies only look at folic acid. So there's definitely sticklers out there that'll say the only proven thing is folic acid because that's what was studied, and you can't do any ethical studies to look at them face to face because it's not ethical. And there's a good chance that folate methylated folic acid is helpful to a subset of the population. So it might actually be superior in like a very small portion of people. So that's really the folic acid, folate. As long as you're getting a folate, your body is getting what it needs. The recommendations by ACOG are 400 micrograms prior to pregnancy, then 600 micrograms during pregnancy. It's a pretty small amount. In all of our supplements and our prenatals, we have 1 milligram. So we were covering your bases a little extra. And almost all prenatals, you'll see it's a very standard of care to have one of these. Then with increasing your folate, yes, there are certain populations that need to increase their folic acid intake. Typically, it's related to a history of neural tube defect because that's really what folic acid is impacting, is the neural tube development early in pregnancy. So we'll usually recommend people go up to a 4 milligram dose of folic acid if they have a history of neural tube defect. So that means like it could be a miscarriage, stillbirth, prior, I don't think first degree relatives still count, or like a sibling perhaps. So if there's any significant family history or personal history of neural tube defect, then we'll recommend that you increase your folic acid in pregnancy to hopefully help lower the chances that you're going to have a neural tube defect with pregnancy. Of course, more likely to have a neural tube defect with age. So they go a little bit hand in hand, those recommendations.
Oh no, I was just going to say that's why ASRM, which is the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, tends to recommend a slightly higher dose of around 800 mcgs to that 1 milligram. And we deal with a lot of people who are going through infertility and fertility treatments. And then we are able to, in your customized packet, we can get you up to that 4 milligrams. We have a lot of people who will come in who are adopted and maybe don't know their family history. And that's often a case as well where you might want to consider taking a higher dose to cover your bases for prevention of neural tube defects.
Okay, good to know. And so in the packs that anyone would get from you, they don't need to necessarily change anything about their pack if they become pregnant, correct? Or should they regroup?
It depends a little bit. So we have the Bare Essential, which is like our baseline non-prenatal multivitamin.
Okay.
That multi does have 400 micrograms, of folate in it. So we're covering your bases in case you find out you're pregnant, you've been getting what you need. But we would recommend going on to a prenatal at that point because we want you to have the iron, the iodine, these other ingredients in a prenatal. But that would be the only circumstance if you were on that other multi.
Or if you are taking CoQ10 or NAC or DHEA, so any of the fertility specific supportive supplements, they're safe to take if you're not finding out you're pregnant till you're like 4, 6, 8 weeks in some cases. That's okay. So when you know, you can continue to take your packs, or you can log in, remove them from your packets yourself, schedule a consult with us. We can help you answer any of those questions and customize your prenatal packets.
Awesome. Can we touch quickly on some of those additional supplements that are recommended for infertility and why someone might be a candidate for them?
Sure. Andy mentioned earlier, what we really push is folate, right? Because we know that we need that if you're planning a pregnancy. There is some limited research, but we have some on a few different supplements. And the biggest ones when it comes to fertility are CoQ10, which is coenzyme Q10, NAC, which is N-acetyl L-cysteine, and then the other would be DHEA. I'm going to completely butcher it, so I'm not going to say the full name.
Very
but
scientific.
These are the three hitters when it comes to supporting A, egg quality, and B, ovulation function, and C, your uterus. So we need three things when it comes to female fertility, and those are the three things. Eggs, we need to make sure we can ovulate, or we're doing IVF, and then we need a healthy uterus to transfer a healthy embryo into so it can implant. And those are really the specific ones that we work on at Binto. NAC and CoQ10 are both antioxidants, so they're going to help rid the body of free radicals. That's really how they help. NAC also helps with regulating insulin levels. So really powerful supplement for women specifically with polycystic ovarian syndrome who may have some of that insulin resistance. And then CoQ10 for egg quality. And DHEA is really important for people like me with endometriosis who have higher estrogen levels, and it can help balance out our estrogen levels and increase the androgen levels. And then one more supplement, which I forgot to mention, which isn't part of the packets, but we use it as a daily powder. It's called inositol. So inositols are chemical messengers. They are from the B vitamin family, and they're fabulous for everyone. What's recommended in the world of reproductive health is to take myo-inositol and D-chiro-inositol in a 40-to-1 ratio. And so that's what we offer at Binto. And it's great for, again, women with polycystic ovarian syndrome, more because it's going to help lower your androgen levels and potentially increase estrogen. So the opposite of the DHEA that I just mentioned, but it also has wonderful benefits for supporting, again, insulin, healthy insulin levels. And there are a lot of studies around inositol and mood. That's why a lot of other people might like to take it, and reducing cravings. Anything else, Andy?
I was just going to say, the other thing that we wouldn't necessarily consider your like typical fertility supplement, but we at Binto firmly believe is a crucial part, and I know, Amy, you feel strongly about this, is a really good quality symbiotic, which we offer here at Binto. Making sure your gut health is in check is so important because it's such a critical piece of the puzzle for your hormones. It helps for a lot of different things being on a good symbiotic, but it definitely impacts your fertility and is safe to take both preconception, during pregnancy, and postpartum. So it's a nice all-around time as well.
How could I forget that? That's like, it's okay. Our thing. Binto was really the first, we were the first like fertility focused brand out there. And then the first that was really looking at the gut health and uterine microbiome, like Andy said, which is so, we're learning more and more about every day. And it's so powerful. And there's some research, limited research out of the University of Virginia about maternal gut health and how that impacts fetal gut health and links to autism. So really fascinating. I think we're in a really exciting time with research. And
yeah, and I think that study, the study that showed that the gut microbiome could potentially basically cross the placenta and affect the gut microbiome of a developing fetus, I think that data came out before I was pregnant or during, I can't remember. I had Josie early. She was in the NICU. She got IV antibiotics as the first thing that went into her body. And of course, it killed me because I have such an obsession with gut health and have for many years because of my own history of having a lot of antibiotics as a child. I was also a C-section baby, so I didn't get that great microflora through the birth canal. Anyways, all that stuff. There's so much data on how that can affect you down the road. So when I was pregnant, I was super careful about what I was eating and making sure I was taking a probiotic for that reason. And I wasn't happy with all of that had to happen, but at least it gave me a little solace knowing that I had really tried to set her up the best I could. And now we're also very careful about her gut health as well. And anyways, it is something I feel very strongly about. So I love that's included in the packs as well.
You are an amazing mom by keeping up with all of this. And a C-section is, you know, it may not have been clearly what you wanted, but I think it sounds like she's doing really well.
Yeah. And anyone who has had to do that can relate that all that matters is a healthy yes. baby, especially at that point. That's all anybody cares about.
But it's still hard.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Okay, so I wanted to see what your opinion is, because we know that infertility, at least was, this may have changed, is defined as a period of not being able to get pregnant for 12 months or longer. But what is your recommendation if someone is really tracking their cycles and feels like they're doing things appropriately and not getting pregnant? How long do you suggest they wait before they see a specialist?
If you are worried and not sure or want more information, go. Again, there's no one size fits all here, but providers only know what you tell them. So if you think they want to know that you've been trying for a year, you've been trying for a year. Nobody knows. Nobody's in the bedroom with you. But if you want to get answers, you can get answers. And it's your right. It's your body, right? Now, that doesn't mean that I want people to be worried if it's been 3 months and they haven't gotten pregnant. That was me the first time. I was like, it's month three. And I was marching into fertility office because that's what felt good to me. It turns out I was actually pregnant, but that's neither here nor there. But there's like a 10 to 20% chance each month if there's no problem. So the reality is it takes a little bit of time. And there is a little bit of a roller coaster for most couples. Like, it just is going to take a little bit of time. And I don't think we talk about that part enough too. Getting pregnant is not just snap your fingers and it happens like we think for all those years when we're trying
right.
not to get pregnant.
Trying not to get pregnant.
I think when you want answers, you should go in and get answers. And certainly I would say if you're over the age of 35 and it's been like 4 to 5 months and you have not gotten pregnant, you should go in sooner rather than later if you are wanting to have babies of your own.
It stinks because, like Andy said, a lot of it has to do, as we know, with insurance. And if you're not going to get fertility coverage until you meet those guidelines, then only you and your partner know that. And it's over, if you're 36 or older, I believe that's when they say 6 months of trying and then you can go in. But really most reproductive endocrinologists and infertility specialists are going to tell, you know, if you feel like something's wrong, if you have something like an underlying condition that may be impacting your fertility, come in and get checked. And we also know that a third of all cases are male factor. So like you could be trying for 12 months and you could have had a semen analysis in month one and realize that it's a male factor issue that could have been combated in a different way and not have gone on trying for 12 months. And that's where I think a new patient workup, going in and getting a fertility workup, is a great thing to do. When I was working at the fertility clinic, I had all my hormone levels checked. Yes. I was so nervous. You just see so many couples who are saying they just wish they had known, or no one ever told me. And that's really our mission at Vinto, is to make sure we don't have to hear that again of no one ever told me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. So I want to switch gears a little bit and wrap up, because I know you're both very busy women and I don't want to take up too much of your time. But in the supplement industry, the wellness industry in general, it's very much like the beauty industry where there's just a lot of noise out there. So is there like a burning supplement myth that you guys wish would just go away that drives you crazy?
I'm sure I could come up with a few, but the ones that have tried to come in to the market after Vinto and saying they're personalized, but they're not for trimesters. Trimesters are a very old-fashioned way of simply dating a pregnancy. It has nothing to do with a mom and baby's nutrient needs. The only thing that has to do with that is you, your body, and your pregnancy. And your nutrient needs can change at any time in a pregnancy, regardless of what trimester you're in. So please don't fall for that. There's no trimester supplement that you need to get based off of what trimester you're in. That's a load of hooey. And that you have to take your supplements first thing in the morning. You can take your supplements whenever you want. I take mine at night. Some people do better with the vitamin B and vitamin D in the morning because of sleep, so your circadian rhythm and how they're processed. But you can take them like in the evening after food. If you take them in the morning on an empty stomach, you might get sick. And you also don't have to spend a fortune on supplements to get a really good quality one.
Yeah, no, I think those are the big ones. And also just, I think I touched on this earlier, but it's a routine. It's not, they're meant to like fill a gap, right? It's not meant to be a dietary replacement. You're going to hopefully be getting the bulk of what you need through eating great food and having fun out, going out to restaurants and meeting up with friends and cooking at home and doing all of these things that also hopefully bring you joy, right? So hopefully you're getting most of your nutrients through that. Your supplements are really designed to bridge the gap, fill that little void that's there. Don't beat yourself up if you forget a day. It's important to just have them as a part of your routine, and that's when they're going to help you feel, make you feel your best. I know for me, I notice when I miss my probiotic. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm always like, oh, good.
Yes.
Gotta
yes.
remember. Stick with it.
I love
it.
That one, Andy. That's so true. And it's not a quick fix. Right? This isn't like putting a mascara on where you're going to see the difference right away. And Andy said, you have to be consistent and stick with your routine. And over time, you're going to feel the benefits, especially with fertility. Like that's where like that staying on it for 90 days, you'll actually see an impact on your egg or sperm quality, which is crazy.
And I think when it comes to just prenatal, maybe for someone who's not experiencing infertility, that's where I think it's scary, because you just trust that it's doing what it says it's going to do, which I always say when it comes to supplements, the biggest determinant of whether or not I'm going to try something or use something is if I trust the brand. Like that has to come first. I'm always reviewing any data that they have, any science behind their products. And of course, it's helpful that I'm also in a position that I get to meet founders and speak with them, because to me, that's going to trump anything else. If I'm not an expert in the supplement space, I need to trust that those experts are and that they really have the best intentions for their customer, which is, of course, why I love Binto so much. And Andy, I have one last question for you. What is your most underrated women's health tip from your years of working in women's health?
Oh man, there's a lot of things, but I think I'm a less is more kind of girl. I know, Amy, you've been on this trend lately too. Like you don't need this like complex routine when it comes to women's health. Like you don't have to be doing all the things, or I don't know. I just put up a reel about waxing because I was born in I was born in 1989. So I've always taken all of my hair off. Now, we know like hair exists for a reason. It helps keep things out when you don't want them to be out. But for me, like my body does not like it when my hair grows down there. It just really doesn't like it because I think I've always removed it. So it's just, this is what I'm used to. So like for me, I will notice secondary symptoms when my hair grows down there. I get really itchy. I always start thinking I have yeast infections. Like I've gotten a yeast infection from it. So for me, that's what works. I just want people to do what makes them happy with their body, whether that's a birth control method, waxing, not waxing, scaping, anything. As long as it's not giving you secondary side effects, that's what I care about as the provider, right? Like, I don't want you to be doing something that's going to make it worse for you. So my thing is usually less is more. And if it makes you happy, go for it.
Yeah, I think that's really important in this space, especially taking ownership of your own body. And we obviously seek expert advice when we need it and when we can, but no one knows your body like you do. And Susie, last question for you. What's next for Binto? What's coming down the pipeline? Anything exciting that we can expect?
Yes, this is the first time we announced Andy officially being a co-founder. So that's really exciting. But yes, we have several products in the works and some exciting things for our subscribers. More perks and benefits for all of you, because that's the most important thing. But really, we want Binto to win in the fertility space and grow to be beyond shelves and support that whole parenthood journey. I don't want to give too much more away, but yes, lots of good things to come. So much work. Thank you, Amy. We love working with you. I can't believe it's been so many years, and your support means so much to us. And we really value all the work that you do for consumers out there and helping them demystify.
Yeah, my audience knows when I am obsessed with something, I usually can't stop talking about it. So they're very well versed with the few things that have been consistent in my life for so many years. And one of them is definitely Binto. So thank you so much for taking the time, for coming on the show. I know you guys are both really busy. So thank you for sharing your knowledge. I'm definitely going to leave links down below. I think I have a discount code, which I'll link if you guys want to try out Binto. I highly recommend the consultation if you can. Even myself as a medical provider, there's things I just wouldn't have known how to handle without that consult. So I'll leave all that information below. And thank you guys both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was the episode I wish I had heard before I started trying to plan to have a family years ago. So I hope it gave you some insider tips and also some reassurance when it comes to your women's health journey. And if you want to try Binto, I really recommend a consultation. And so we're going to be giving away a consult, 3 months personalized kit, and a pill organizer, which is worth over $200. All you have to do is follow at MyBinto, follow me at Amy Koberling, that's both of those are on Instagram, and then let us know in the reel that I posted about this specific episode what your biggest takeaway was from this episode, and if you're going to be changing anything in your routine after hearing it. Also, if you want to try Binto, I have a discount code for you. It's Skinthusiast, and it will get you 20% off any order on the site. We talked a lot about their prenatal packs here, but they also have a lot of other really great supplements on their website that you can check out. I hope you enjoyed this take on women's health, and if you want to see more like this, please let me know in a review or in a comment anyone else you'd like to hear from, because I think that women's health is self-care, just like skincare is self-care, and it's really important for us to be armed with the knowledge that can really change our health, change our minds, and change our bodies. And with that, I will talk to you next week, Skinthusiasts.